Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Two Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. We've got coming up today, wanted to talk a lot about the fake meeting that Trader Todd had where they fake elected Eli Bremer, who set up a little shadow government. I mean, the whole thing is insane, right? What they're doing. But the thing is, I think everybody needs to realize is it's part of a much bigger story that's going on nationally. So we're going to have, I see him here, former Representative Ron Hanks. And then at 3:30, Laurel Eimer is going to talk about it too. So Ron, I see you there. First, let's go ahead and welcome you to the show. Thank you for your time.
Hey Ron, how's it going?
Hey, it's going well. I hope you can hear me. I look like I'm in a fog bank as I try to set up my little studio downstairs. So
That's all right. You got flags in the background and you sound just fine.
Okay, good.
You don't want too sharp a focus anyway.
So, I've noticed that.
Yeah. It's been away for a long time. Zoom kind of blurs us anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay, so on Saturday, the real Republican Party will be holding a meeting discussing, among other things, whether anybody actually really does want to recall Dave Williams. Essentially, a very small group of never-Trumpers, rhinos, the establishment elite who've been destroying the party for decades.
I wouldn't say very small. I think it's always been a minority, but not an insignificant minority.
All right, good. Okay.
And as long as you have money, you'll never be an insignificant minority.
That's something I want to talk about here a little later, because they do seem to have an awful lot of money, right? And it's like, why were they not giving this money to the actual state Republican Party? But at any rate, that's going on. But Ron, the Gateway Pundit had a great article, and they were quoting you in it, talking about...
Makes it great just by itself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Talking about the fact that this is not just some fringy thing going on in Colorado. This is a much bigger deal. Why don't you explain that for us?
Yeah, they're very astute over there, Chuck, I will say. I didn't necessarily expect that what I wrote was going to get in there. Had I known, I would have probably clarified a thing or two. But what we see in Colorado and around is going on around the country. Christina Caramo in Michigan is probably the best, most recent example, where she was a grassroots party chair that got removed by the Rhino minority with money. And Pete Hoekstra, the former rep, took over the party. So, you know, we're seeing that kind of thing here, too. And I think it's important to kind of do a little trend analysis and realize this is not just Colorado. It's not just individual states banding together. This is coming from the deep party state, in my opinion. President Trump may have some control over the RNC, but I do not believe he has complete control over the RNC. And some of the people advising him, I've got concerns about. And then last point on this is, if he does have control of the RNC, the Republican National Committee, I firmly believe he has no idea what's going on at the Republican National Congressional Committee level.
I'd agree with that.
Go ahead.
Well, I know you're absolutely right. So the interestingly, you know, all of the Rhino candidates who won in the primary all came out, and Lauren Boebert was kind of wishy-washy, but still all came out saying that they supported getting rid of Dave Williams. All of them but Lauren signed a letter congratulating the fake party, like you call it in a letter that you sent out, the masquerade party, which is a great name for it, you know, supporting him. Interestingly, Lauren did not sign it. But that also was a sentiment, I think, expressed in the Republican congressional campaign committee, which is controlled by Mike Johnston, who has turned out to be, let's just say, a disappointment.
Yeah, Mike Johnson played in my primary race as well. You know, he dumped $500,000, I guess, was the final tally in the final week, indicating that, you know, I used to be a Democrat and I'm pro-abortion. And I mean, these are Harry Reid's scale lies against a fellow Republican. So in my view, Mike Johnson's irredeemable. I've got no respect for the man. And frankly, I think Trump he's either unaware or unconcerned about the RNCC and Johnson's ability to come in and take over these state delegations of Republicans, because I would say most of them are in his camp, not Trump's. So I hope Trump is aware of it, and I hope Trump has a larger game plan. But I'm not sure I have confidence in that.
Well, you got to wonder, too. I mean, let's go back, you know, just a few months ago, and we've been talking about it on our show. You've been talking about it. Some of these RINO candidates received a lot of their money in Colorado from Americans for Prosperity. It was not that long ago that Americans for Prosperity was all in the tank for Nikki Haley and hated Donald Trump, right? They've been no Donald Trump fan. They're open borders, establishment elite. And then they decided, and they openly, Charles Koch talked about this, right?
Yes.
That they couldn't beat Trump. So they were going to take their money and funnel it and essentially try to beat Trump by putting in RINO uniparty Republicans in Congress so that so Trump can say anything he wants, but they could basically carry out the RINO never Trump agenda in Congress. And I think that's exactly what they did in Colorado, right?
Yeah, I believe that, and it's a grave disappointment, and that's what I campaigned on in the primary, and I firmly believe it, that he's going to get sandbagged by the House and the Senate, and so unless he has a master plan that's he's holding back and very close hold, very few people read into it, I think he's going to get sandbagged big time. And this is the worst possible time to have a hostile, fake Republican Congress, because we've got nuclear conflict on the horizon in Asia and in Europe. I mean, we need to be cohesive, and it's too late for that at this point. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The one good part is that the RINO establishment here in Colorado could care less about actually Republicans winning the Congress. By having a fight, not after November, but before November, they certainly limited the chances that some of these people have you get elected in Congress. I think that Gabe Evans, I mean, you know, I know in our district, we had Gabe Evans and so forth. He's really hurt himself. I mean, there are a lot of Republicans who go, no, I'm not going to support him. I mean, I'm just not going to do it. I may not.
They would have, I think, up until the time he
went after held their nose and said, yeah, okay, well, you know, well, a Republican's better than a Democrat. Now they kind of go, well, you know, they don't need our help. They've got all the money in the world, the national, you know, prosperity, they're kind of great. So, you know, no, I don't need a knock on doors. You can pay people $25 to knock on doors and you can do it all since that's all you really care about.
Yeah, I've heard it's up to $42 an hour in some locations.
Well, maybe I'll volunteer then.
Volunteer. Yeah. Go ahead, Julie. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I want to talk about the money because, you know, at the fake meeting last weekend, Christy Burton Brown, the former chair of the Republican Party, who oversaw the most disastrous election for Republicans in party history. So I don't even know why anyone is listening to her, not to mention all the financial scandals, not even going there, right? But so she's clearly manipulating things. We've heard she was the worm tongue whisperer in the ears of people like Eli Bremmer, Steve Peck in Douglas County, stirring things up at the most basic level. She, I'm sure, is not doing anything without the okay of Advance Colorado, which is another Philanthropes funded kind of thing, and uniparty consultants and establishments. And Eli Bremmer then opens up a fake office. Where's I mean, there's got to be some big money behind this, don't you think? Not just in Colorado, but across the country.
I think Bremer and the Masquerade Party is working out of the Colorado Peak Republican office in Colorado.
I'm shocked.
Which they were told not to do that anymore because, there was efforts to keep the Republican brand within the Republican Party, but they've conveniently rather ignored that. I didn't know Christy Brown was the worst chair as far as results, although they were abysmal. It was a spiral downward. But I thought it was Dick Wadhams that, for back in the day, I think he was the worst. So that'll be a fun little project, I guess, after this meeting.
Yeah, just to figure out who's the worst.
How
many did Dick Wadhams lose? No. But you have to compare it to how many he could lose to do a proportional relationship. Yeah.
But the thing is, and here's where I was kind of asking with that. So there clearly is money. I mean, Chris Murray is an $800 an hour lawyer who's representing the Masquerade Party, right? And the only way they can do anything is by, filing lawsuits. I mean, they on the radio, they go on and they say, oh, they're going to evict Dave and Anna and stuff. They can't. They're not the landlords, right? I mean, they have a lease. I mean, it's just ridiculous, the stuff they're saying. But my question is why? Because this is what I think people really need to understand. Why do you think it is that there are groups and individuals willing to put so much money into stopping grassroots Republicans?
Well, it's money. I mean, there is a consultant class here that makes a pretty good coin off of candidates giving their best, and so I think that's part of it. It's ego. I think Eli Bremer is driven heavily by ego, and I think we're going to tank on the congressional races this year, but there could be some successes at the state level. And I actually think there is a concern from the Rhino establishment class that they don't want Dave Williams to get the credit for that and the other grassroots. So they can try to come in here. I mean, everything they've done is completely fraudulent, ridiculous, and should not stand. They're kind of like squatters coming into your property. It should not stand, but they're playing the game as though it might. I think they're hoping to come in and take credit for any victories because they've had no victories. Right. You know, when I was in the state house in 20 to 22, the house was 41-24. Well, after Christy Brown's term, it went from 24 to 19. And you can't get much lower,
They're trying.
We got another 19 to get rid of.
Well, and even across the country, too, again, you look at, and I guess I would call them the globalists, right? There are a lot of people who stand to make a lot of money if they can keep the swamp rolling the way it is. And Donald Trump and the grassroots threaten all of that. And that's why they're willing to lie and cheat and do anything and everything they can to basically get rid of, I would call it grassroots, but it's really the MAGA movement, right? To just crush it.
Yeah. And the globalists, in my opinion, we are, if we might use Mad Max terminology, we're simply blood bags to be drained. Yeah. We are money bags. They want to extract as much wealth from us, and then we're expendable as fertilizer at that point. The globalists and the Democrats are not going to surrender the power that they have, because I contend they are controlling $7 trillion U.S. dollars every year. Now, they stole that election in 2020. Why would any thinking person believe that they would play fair in 2024, transition power peacefully, and then try to get it back? That's $28 trillion that they would lose direct control of. What wouldn't just about everybody on this planet do for $28 trillion worth of control?
Right,
excluding us.
And you have to realize that it's gone beyond the quote-unquote globalists. And it's really infected the businesses. I mean, who have DEI policies that that have Pride Months, that have everything else, they've really bitten the Marxist agenda. I mean, it's like Lenin said, you know, they'll sell us a rope to hang them.
Yeah.
And that's really what they've done in Colorado. You know, I mean, Anschutz's very rich, but there are lots of other ones that have, you know, millions. But I mean, finding, as you found out, I'm sure,
yeah,
finding a businessman, people with money to give to grassroots pro-Trump groups is almost infinitesimal. I mean, they, you know, it's.
Yeah, and the stakes couldn't be higher. I read this morning that the U.S. Navy has no zero deployed carriers in the Pacific. They're moving the USS Ronald Reagan from Yokosuka, Japan to Bremerton, Washington. They've got one down in San Diego. Everything else is pushed out to the Middle East to fight this junior varsity Houthi group.
Right.
But meanwhile, China's making moves on the Philippines. And what do we got? We've got, can I say douchebag on your program? douchebag masquerading rhino Republicans like Eli Bremer. He's not the only one. I guess you got Britta Horn, Kevin McCarney, that now have elected themselves and are, you know, wearing a little grade school crown around like they're the new Republican leadership. But they're wasting our time trying to right this ship of state while we are, you know, in dire straits and a foreign policy perspective and certainly economically.
Well, you
it's,
know,
it's very well played by the egocentric douchebag masquerade party. So exactly. Forgive me.
Well, and the douchebag, the douchebag media doesn't even understand. I would say they don't even understand it.
Yes, they do. The douchebag media is part of it. I mean, not that they don't understand. That implies that they're objective somehow and are just misled. No, they're part of it because it's owned by the douchebags. It's owned by Phil Anschutz and the left wing for the Denver Post and all that. But they, you know, you can go on Colorado politics right now and it'll be no different than the Denver Post or anything else.
Well, they are sure. Well, and one thing that's interesting too, you know, you bring up sort of the foreign policy issue. Victor Davis Hanson had a great column talking about the exact peril that you're talking about on the verge of nuclear war in Ukraine, in Taiwan, he said, and then in the Middle East. And he said, we've got a president who's non-existent. We've got a vice president who's an idiot and doesn't care. And then you've got all these uniparty deep state congressional people who want war. I mean, they don't care that it's just like that movie Look Up, right? We'll all be nuked and they'll be, you know, flying out in their spaceship, they believe.
Well, they weren't
Well, they ended up
asteroid.
It didn't.
Asteroid.
Oh, okay. All right, they did. It didn't go well for them. But
asteroids are not any better than nukes. In fact, they're a little bit worse.
But I mean, you're right. I mean, the country. It's not like this doesn't matter, right? It's not like everything could be just totally fine. You know what I mean? All these people get elected, and if Trump loses, Trump is the one guy who seems to not only understand, but is willing to try to stop it. Who says, no, we need to get out of Ukraine. We need to, I already dealt with the Middle East. We'll do it again. I can work with China rather than getting us closer and closer to the brink of nuclear war.
Yeah. And Julie, our bench isn't very deep. You know, if you were to ask me, I'm not overjoyed by the J.D. Vance pick. I wish there was somebody that had a little bit more, I hate the word gravitas, but I'll use it for, you know, just efficiency's sake. You know, if Trump goes down, we got a lot of problems starting all over again. But first off, we got to get him in there. And I'm not sure we're going to be able to. Having people pretend they are the new leadership of the Republican Party of Colorado certainly isn't helping us. And there was somebody that assumed Dave Williams' identity on Twitter and said that he had decided to resign. I think Dave Williams put out a rebuttal to that. But, you know, that's the kind of character we are fighting here. That's why I would make the plea to people who are voting members of the SCC, get to that meeting in Castle Rock on Saturday at the Rock Church and vote against what these illegitimate members tried to accomplish in their illegitimate meeting. It's imperative. Otherwise, we're going to be spiraling, circling the drain here for another couple of weeks, couple of months, trying to work it out through the courts. And we just need to flush it now and get back to fighting to get Trump in there, or at least giving him a chance.
Well, and again, as you point out, in a letter that you wrote, and I think the letter's it's up on Rhino Watch too now, you point out this is kind of what they want. A lot of this is aimed, it's not aimed at Dave Williams, it's not aimed at Anna Ferguson or Hope Shuppelman, it's aimed at Trump. Right. And those people, they need to, I mean, this is just sort of their bottoms up way to start getting rid of people who would support Trump and anyone who's going to kind of support a MAGA agenda as opposed to their
unified. Well, I think they have a more local purpose, and that is their fear that the opt out could occur.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, please. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You're free.
Well, I was just going to say they are definitely opposed to closing the primaries and to the opt-out. And, you know, Eli Bremmer, I ran against him in that Senate race in 22, and he really never said anything memorable, but he has a couple of quotes that are worth mentioning, and that's, this is a group of anti-Trump folks where he said when Biden was about to be inaugurated, he said, well, the era of Trump is over, and with a rather element of glee. And then at the illegal meeting previous to last week's that they held, it was going to be an official party meeting, but it was deemed illegal, so they just called it a rally. But they had a so-called candidate forum, and he said, hey, if you're for closed primaries and the opt-out, I'm not your guy. Well, he's not our guy. And, you know, those are two memorable quotes that Eli Bremmer people should remember from him coming into this weekend.
And we need to as, you know, drum them out, as you said. Well, listen, Ron, thank you. I know you've got a ton of stuff to do. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Ron, and keep up the good fight.
It's a pleasure talking to you folks always. So thank you very much.
Thank you, okay. Ron Hanks there. Again, the thing is this is a lot bigger, I think. And Sandra says, thank you, Ron, than people think. I think I see him now, so we could switch. If Laurel and Wes, if you guys are ready to go ahead and turn yourselves on. I don't know if that sounds weird.
Yeah, get those magic mushrooms behind you and start consuming them.
Out. And again, this is up on Rhino Watch too.
Is that Wes under the hat?
That's Wes.
Okay.
With the RNC Youth Advisory Council.
Oh, okay.
They put a great letter explaining to folks, sort of like, I called it fact checking, is what I would call it, you know, sort of what's going on there. And I want to get to that in a second. But Laurel, I wanted to start with you because you are so astute on these kind of things. And when we talk about Christy Burton Brown, when we talk about what the RNC and the election, you should have won personally, I think. And we supported you for the RNC National Committee woman. But Christy Fedora won. Christy Fedora front and center trying to get rid of Dave Williams. One could question what's she even doing there in that role. Right. But I think, like we were sort of talking with Ron, this is bigger than just, you know, what you call Dave derangement syndrome. Right. There's something bigger and more insidious going on, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, and you know, I listened to pieces of what Ron was talking about, so I don't want to repeat some of the things that he said, but he's not wrong. You know, this is a very large, deep state, fake news, you know, attempt to control the party apparatus in Colorado and across the nation. These people are the same people that we've been dealing with for a decade. They were irrelevant 10 years ago. They were irrelevant 8 years ago. They were irrelevant 5 years ago. And here we are today. They're still irrelevant, but they're trying to make a play. And this is really the Never Trump movement coming to rest here in 2024. These are the same people that we've been fighting since I started on the ground with Donald Trump in June of 2015. I've been fighting these exact same people for this in almost a decade now. And they just will not go away. All they do is grow legs and they get funded through this national apparatus, these super PACs, this dark money. I think if you could get behind the money of this, I believe you would find you've got kit theory behind it, probably, because the open primary, Prop 108, which we've been trying to repeal from the party perspective for the last, 4 years. Now you look at his agenda to have ranked choice voting. We know that this new group, this coup, they are absolutely going to stand with kit theory and ranked choice voting, because it's how they can continue to stop Republicans from getting elected in the state of Colorado. I think you also, if we really go a deep dive, and Ron brought this up, I think you trace this back to the Speaker of the House.
Right.
And I think that's your connection with Lauren Boebert.
Okay.
Lauren Boebert, if you remember, in March of 23, Lauren Boebert was against him before she was for him. So mm-hmm. who made a promise to who? Did she promise to take him to the theater with her in Denver?
Yeah, it gets a little handsy. Yeah.
I mean, it's a little handsy, and then we'll work together to get Christy Fedora elected.
Right.
I mean, there's a connection there. That's a pay-to-play quid pro quo. If you follow the money of all of these individuals, they go in a certain direction, they go in a certain place. And I've said for years, anybody, anytime asks me, what is going on? How do we know the truth? I tell them to follow the money. Follow the money.
And you're right. And the money here, and let's talk about Kent Theory for a second, because you're absolutely right. Keep in mind, Kent Theory is not the only bazillionaire pushing ranked choice voting. And there are plenty of them out there in other states as well. Hopefully they're going to try to repeal it in Alaska.
Well, they are. They got to prove it.
But it works so awful. But I mean, I think actually interestingly, Colorado Public Radio did an interesting story. It was sort of the pro Kent Theory, but it talked about, he was saying there are plenty of people in plenty of other states pushing this same thing. And you're right. That's to get rid of Republicans. It's essentially to get rid of voters, because as pesky voters keep doing things like electing Donald Trump. So trying to protect ourselves. And I think you're right. If we think, and Donald Trump terrified them, and we terrify them, the growing grassroots and the MAGA movement terrifies them. And if we think they're just going to be, like Ron said, oh, well, we'll try harder, you know, and next time around, we're nuts, because they're not going to give up. I mean, you look at, again, the Eli Bremmer people, they lost. They lost in March at the election. They don't care. They came back. They hold a fake vote and they declare themselves winners. They're not. And then you have the complicit Phil Anschutz media industrial complex that keeps quoting Eli Bremmer as chair of the party. I mean, the money is it's not politics. You're right. It's money is what this is about.
Politics is money. The new woke, because now they can choose to identify however they want. They can identify as the leadership of the Colorado Republican Party. It's a lie. It's no different than choosing to identify as a man or a woman and use the wrong bathroom of your given gender at birth. You know, we are not assigned male or female at birth. We are born one or the other. It's not an assignment from somebody else or some professor or some doctor. They have assigned themselves the leaders of the party.
Right.
And it's fake. I mean, the parliamentarian for the RNC has already ruled in this. I mean, if you want to look deep, I mean, there's your answer right there as to how the RNC is going to side in this entire situation.
Right. Well, let me then, Wes, turn to you then, because you are on the RNC Youth Advisory Committee, right?
All powerful Youth Advisory Committee.
Gaining more power. But why don't you talk a little bit maybe about that? Because they keep presenting themselves, like you said, you can call yourself that, but it doesn't mean you are. And no one else who would matter seems to be taking that seriously. Why don't you explain a little bit about the parliamentarian? And you pointed out in your letter some interesting things about what the RNC is or is not doing regarding this, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I first want to touch on, you know, you guys talked briefly about the vote. Let's just look at the numbers. The bylaws of the party require a 3/5 majority of the total membership, not the membership at the meeting, the total membership to remove an officer. They didn't even have that number in attendance that day. They had 77 people. They had 100 some proxies. And they voted at 166 total to remove the chairman. And, you know, that number shifted a little bit when you look at the other officers, you know, but they needed 240 some odd votes to remove an officer. They didn't even have that. So the vote doesn't even hold up, even if it was a legitimate meeting. So it's mind boggling. But as you said, you know, the Republican National Committee, they are not recognizing Eli Bremmer. You know, I mentioned in my letter you referenced that if you asked Eli Bremmer right now, have you been in contact with the RNC? Have they sent you a gold name tag like like this one right here in my pocket. Have they sent you one of these with the elephant logo on it? Have they sent you the all-important member pin, which I don't get one because I'm not a member. But have they sent you the member pin? Have they sent you your business cards? Have they sent you your, you know, letterhead, your envelopes, your business cards? Have they given you a login to member services to go onto the members only portal of the RNC where you can view what the party's actually doing day to day? Have they given you any of that? The answer is going to be no. Then right. If you go on the Republican National Committee's website and look at their member gallery, that thing's updated daily, right? Dave Williams is still the chair of the party on the member gallery on the RNC's website. I referenced, you know, that, and you can speak to this as well because you were there.
I was there in real time.
Back in February, we were in Las Vegas for the RNC's winter meeting. The week prior to that was an event called the Restoring National Confidence Summit. Yeah. Was that what it was?
Held by Turning Point.
Yeah, held by Turning Point Action. And because we were the Turning Point team in Colorado, we got invited. We were out there. And Christina Karamo, who was the chair of the Michigan GOP, which is another party that they have just vehemently attacked, got removed by her central committee. They elected a new chair, completely legal, and the RNC immediately recognized the new chairman, credentialed that chairman for the RNC meeting, flew him out, and changed the website in 12 hours.
Right.
Dave Williams supposedly was removed 4 days ago. He's still on the RNC website as the chair. And I think Eli Bremer really exposed himself when he talked about how supposedly Dave Williams and Anna Ferguson and Hope Shepelman were to blame for the lack of Trump yard signs and Trump literature and Trump activity in the state. That was not on them. The Trump campaign looked at it strategically and determined that Colorado was not in play for them. And if it was, it would be a cherry on top. It wasn't the main priority. They had seven swing states that they had to focus on versus the four we had in 2016 and in 2020. And that was where the resources needed to go. I just got here from the Capitol Club luncheon with the Colorado GOP, which, by the way, the supposed new officers were not in attendance.
They were at the Lincoln
Club. They were at the Lincoln
that
Club.
That tells you everything you need to know.
What was the husband?
Yeah, they were at the Lincoln Club. Britta Horn and Eli Bremer and all them were at the Lincoln Club today.
Good.
So my first, if they're the leaders, why weren't they at our party's event today? If they're the chairman and co-chair and all that of the party, why weren't they there? But I'm getting off the track. The point I'm trying to make is at the Capitol Club luncheon, every person that attended today got a free Trump yard sign. I've got two sitting in the back of my car right now. I posted it on my Twitter. But, you know, the party is doing things, and this whole thing is such a sham.
Well, and we had Hope, not Hope, we had Darcy, who takes it personally because she's the outreach person on when they say, some of them, they tweet, oh, Dave hasn't reached out to this person, hasn't reached out to that person. That's just flat out a lie, right? Just like you said, it's like Dave Williams didn't chase Donald Trump away. Dave Williams filed the lawsuit that kept Trump on the ballot, right? Now, these guys wouldn't have done it. Chrissy Burton Brown wouldn't have raised a finger, or done anything. Eli Bremer wouldn't have done. He and Jeff Herter, they were for Nikki Haley, for God's sakes. They wouldn't have done anything to keep Trump on the ballot. And it's exactly as you said. Any campaign would do the same thing. They just are going to focus their resources on places where, like you said, they have to triage it, basically.
Well, let's remember, bringing up Christy Burton Brown. There is currently a potential lawsuit against Christy Burton Brown taking place from the Colorado GOP for potential misuse of funds for when she was chair. But who was sitting at that table in the illegal meeting as part of the group last Saturday? It was Christy Burton Brown
and
Wayne
Murray.
Williams and Chris Murray, the lawyer for Christy Burton Brown, who was the attorney for the party, who also is under investigation for double billing or triple billing the state GOP for an additional $60,000 and nobody knows why. So once again, what did I say? Follow the money.
Right. Well, you're right. They have clearly, I hadn't thought of that, Laura, but you're right. They have Chrissy Burton Brown, Chris Murray, those guys have a clear vested interest in getting rid of the current leadership that exposed and is investigating. You know, we had, you know, there was talk, and I think it's still out there, of potentially pursuing criminal allegations, right? And you're right, they have a lot to gain if Dave Williams and everybody just go away. Well, and in the meantime, Malone, I want to just kind of go back to this, because I want people to understand, because people are like, oh, I'm just so sick of the Republican Party infighting. That's not really what's going on here. This is the uniparty deep state using that little smoke and mirror trick to try to convince people to stay away from the Republican Party because they want to control it and they want to get rid of the Make America Great movement because it threatens their money.
And the good part about it, if there is a silver lining to it, you can take those 160 odd people that voted for Dave Williams' removal, and you got officially the Never Trumpers of Colorado. And now, from now on, because they're always trying to hide among us. They're always, oh, I'm all for Trump. Or if not, oh, I'm a Reagan Republican, you know. Yeah, sure.
They've exposed themselves.
Yeah, they've exposed themselves. So, you know, from now on, we've got to distribute that list to everyone. So if you come in contact with them, oh, you're a Never Trumper, a masquerade party, douchebag, as Ron Hanks.
Well, I have a running list. I mean, like I said, Weston and I have been doing this since 2015 on the ground for Trump. I can name you every Never Trumper in the state of Colorado. Probably from memory.
Well, you ought to send that out.
And they haven't changed, right? But I was reminded of something. Ray Garcia put something out. And I just want to read it because I want to get it right. And he's exactly right. He says, there are no permanent allies, only permanent interests.
Okay. Right.
That's what you need. That's the important key here, is what is their purpose? They want to be, in the spotlight. They want to have notoriety. They want some fame. I mean, my goodness, there's been more press with Eli Brimmer in the last 4 days than in the party in a year, right?
Right.
Kyle Clark is, are we on live TV? Orgasmic over this, right? I mean, he is just, he cannot control himself, right? I mean, and the likes of the media here in Colorado and across the nation, they're just soaking this up because this is what they want. They want to sow division ahead of the election. We've lost perspective. We are in the middle of a presidential cycle, the most important election of our lifetime. I know we say that over and over, but it is. I mean, we are being taken over by a Marxist who is now running for president. People, she's running for president. She has no support. She's never received a vote anywhere for anything to remotely put her in that office. And she's running for president of the United States, and she's a Marxist.
Right.
And none of us are going to be unburdened by what has been with her in office. We are going to be burdened terribly, and it's going to be the destruction of this country.
Exactly. And this just been a couple of comments from Ron Hanks. He listened to Eli Bremer on the Jeff and Bill show. Eli equated himself to Israel and Dave Williams to Hamas.
Yeah. Right.
And then Charlene says, I heard that also. Bremer's jumped the shark. He looks crazed. It's like, it's kind of like, fortunately, they're a bunch of idiots, right? So, but again, that's why your point and Ron's point is so important. And that is, it doesn't matter that they're idiots. What matters is the big money swamp people behind them are not going to give up. And if Eli Bremer blows himself up, then they could care less. There'll be somebody else in there. It'll be Christy Fedora, right? They don't care because they're going to have somebody else in there because they have, as Ron pointed out, trillions and trillions of dollars to lose if Trump gets into office. And anything and everything they can do to hurt that and to hurt people who support Trump. Again, I mean, Jack Smith just re-indicted Trump on the charges that the Supreme Court threw out, right? It's like, you'd be like, hello. And he's like, he doesn't care. Rules don't matter to these people.
Rules are something to get around.
Yeah. And hopefully all we can do really is sort of shine the light on it, which you guys have done a great job doing.
Well, and as my mother so aptly put, and then I did as well, and I referenced it in my letter, was that this is about the attraction to power and the lust to attain it. It is nothing more than that. We have seen these people constantly try and vie for power, with Britta running for state treasurer and losing.
Right.
We've seen Eli run for Senate and lose. We've seen Kevin McCarthy run for secretary and lose in magnanimous proportions, which, by the way, I just want to talk about how he was out on the first ballot in the secretary race with, Was it like 30 votes?
Yeah, 30.
And now he's magically the secretary of the party? I mean, it's just insanity. But this passion for this power, it ultimately corrupts. And the more that they lie about who they are, it's basic Hitlerism here. You know, I'm paraphrasing Hitler when I say this. But if you tell someone that hell is heaven and heaven is hell long enough, you can convince them that they are the opposite. Right. And it's exactly that. It's this manipulation of the truth and these flat out lies. I mean, I point blank said they could give Kamala Harris a run for her money when it comes to the BS machine, because it's true. They are going to continue to lie and say that they are the party. They are the leadership. They are the rightful heirs to the throne when none of it is true and none of it is legal. I've been cussed out by more people on their side than I've ever knew existed in my email the past 48 hours. It's been really upsetting and frankly disappointing.
And the thing is, too, and Laurel, you pointed this out, too. Let's just look at the media who are supporting them. I'm going to, for a second, Jesse Paul, I thought, did an okay story in the Colorado Sun when he pointed out that there were now two competing. I mean, it was okay. He didn't really get into two competing signs that there's going to be a showdown. At least he wasn't pretending that Dave Williams was ousted. But the media organizations that are pretending that Dave Williams is ousted, it's the Anschutz Media Industrial Complex. And that's just go back to Phil Anschutz is not, he's a never Trumper, right? And he doesn't want Trump in there. So he's using look at the Washington Examiner, the Colorado Springs Gazette, all of them.
Colorado
right?
Politics, Colorado Denver Gazette, right. Complete Colorado.
Have hated Dave Williams ever since he got in. They hate
Trump. It's not
Trump.
Dave Williams they hate.
Exactly.
It's Trump they hate.
Exactly.
It's the thought of Dave Williams. It's the Dave derangement syndrome. Yeah. And you know, I've come up with a lot of really good terms for this. The Eli Bremmer and the gossip mongers, Dave derangement syndrome. I think I'm turning out to be a pundit here. But it's true. It's this obsessive compulsive disorder over the thought of the America First and the grassroots leadership that has taken over our party. We were instrumental in getting Dave into the race when he ran for chair. It was either going to be her or it was going to be him. And we told him, well, we don't want to run against you. And he's like, well, we don't want to run against you either. So which one of us is it going to be? And she said, well, I'd rather be committee woman down the road. You run for chair. And that was it. Right. And Dave ran for chair. We helped him get elected. We were at his meet and greets. We talked to voters. We whipped votes. I sent text messages and emails for him. I helped him get elected. And to see the people, the grassroots, turn their backs on their champion is unbelievable to me. It is this complete culture shift of as soon as you're elected, you become an establishment leader, even if you were grassroots your entire life. Like
well,
us, we became rhinos as soon as we ran for anything.
Right.
But yet here we are.
The trouble with grassroots, it's got a lot of wonderful people, but it also has some people who would be allowed in no other club except the Republican Party because they signed up for it and you couldn't throw them out. And they're always splintering off and declaring that, you know, oh my God, you considered a simpletron or something at the party meeting. We must recall you. You did this, you did that. I mean, and you say, well, this is going to result in the rhinos taking over. Go like, well, I don't care. I love being a loser. You know, I'm born loser. That's why I became a Republican. I just thought you guys always lost. So you're just perfect
well,
for
I
me.
I can address that. I know how that happens and why. So when we started this, Weston and I, especially me, I was pushing against the establishment from the outside. I was an activist. I was a dedicated voter. I was intelligent, but I didn't really understand how the whole apparatus worked. So I was on the outside pushing in and nothing was working and everyone was coming against me. You know, they wouldn't let us in. They wouldn't talk to us, wouldn't give us any information. So I finally figured out what has to happen is you have to get inside. And that's when I started deciding you have to run for office. You have to take up a position. You have to be involved in the structure and the apparatus because you have to learn. So what we have is we have a lot of grassroots and they're well-meaning people. But really, at the end of the day, they're red diaper doper babies. They're uneducated voters, and they're the most dangerous people on the planet. Okay, and I was uneducated once, But I understood that you had to get in to understand. Once you get in and understand and you see how the process works, then you understand, like what Weston's trying to explain to them in the email, that it wasn't Dave and Anna and Hope. It's the Trump campaign that made the decision that Colorado was not in play. Doesn't mean we're not in play. Doesn't mean we can't win. We can. We're only 1.5 points down. Trump can absolutely win Colorado if we stop this infighting and this ridiculousness.
Right.
But the thing is that they have to understand that the bigger picture and the RNC and the campaign looks at the demographics and the voter data and the rolls and all of the things that go into play. It's numbers, it's data, and they dissect it every second of every day, and they look at it, and they know this is winnable, this is not, this is where we have to pool our resources. We got to pull from here and put here. The example was 2016. We were making a play in 2016 to win Colorado for Donald Trump, and it was unexpected, and they were not ready for it. So what did they do leading up to the final days in the election? They pulled Hillary Clinton's funding, and they put it all from Arizona and put it in Colorado because Colorado was suddenly in play. And, North Carolina, too.
North Carolina, too. Money, we have a story about
Colorado
that, but there's not time.
Right? Well, but that's why they did it, because they were watching those numbers. And it's the same thing the Trump team has done. Doesn't mean we're not valuable. It doesn't mean that at all. And it's the same thing with these small, low-level races. I keep getting emails about, what are we going to do about CD7? Nobody cares about us over here. No offense to Sergey and CD7. I was a former CD7 candidate, so I've been in the shoes, and I know the truth about what I'm speaking. CD7's not in play. It's not going to be.
Real quick story.
We already had our opportunity at that, and we lost it. So no, they're not going to spend any resources there.
It was when I was briefly a Democrat, right? And I worked for years. And I've reformed. I've been reformed for decades.
Briefly.
We forgive you. We forgive you.
But I worked.
Never showed
Kevin
straight
was an
up
independent too for a while.
That applies to the host.
And
also.
Christy Fedora was a Democrat.
At any rate, I was working in the campaign for Dave Williams. Not that Dave.
Dave
Williams.
Thomas.
Dave Thomas. Dave Thomas, who was
not
running,
that Dave Williams.
Running in CD7, right? And we're working. The DCCC, they called it, the national organization, had these, like, they were like lemmings of all these campaign people, all these campaign workers. They were all there in the office. It was buzzing, right? I'm not exaggerating. The next day, Dave did not hit his numbers for fundraising, right? You went into the office, they were all gone, right? They just called them out and they sent them to another state, another district that they thought was, I mean, it was just like, everyone's like, and no one even told the candidate, right? The candidate had no clue.
Hey, where am I?
Yeah, he's not, you know, he can't, all the phone numbers have changed, but you're absolutely right. I think people don't understand just how brutal
triage
it is. And I think in the final thing,
you're dead.
I mean, that's what people understand. Don't be fooled by them trying to play this up as Dave Durant syndrome and a little civil war. This is a massive war, and it's not between grassroots necessarily. It is between the people, the uniparty deep state swamp that wants to take over the country and take it away from the American people. It's between us and them. It's not, it's, as you pointed out, Laura, it's just much bigger, and people need to remember that. And they need to, as Donald Trump said, we need to fight.
Yes. And unfortunately, there's people in Trump's camp. Okay, that I don't trust. Okay, I don't trust him at all.
Yeah.
Some of his advisors, some of these people, like I said, I mean, the people, some of our sitting Republicans, I don't trust them. Okay, they have a different agenda. Their agenda is not for America first. Their agenda is not for this country. They're globalists, neocons, whatever you want to call them. They're uniparty. And you have to just pay attention to what is under that veil. You got to pull that veil back and look a little broader and a little deeper. And as you get more involved, you will. I don't want to come down too hard on these grassroots people, because I mean, that's who we are. Right. And everybody says we're not. As soon as we made it, right, and as soon as our names are known, we are now rhinos, which is just the stupidest thing in the world. I mean, it just makes me laugh. Like, I've made the big time. When I'm called a rhino, I know I've made the top of the list, you know. But these people, some of them are well-meaning. And the interesting thing I find, too, is that a lot of these same people talking about the committee woman race, a lot of these people who are now standing there to oust our chairman, Dave Williams, were the same people who – trying to protect Dave Williams, are the same people who were voting for against me as the committee woman. So it's like, what's the disconnect? You can't have it both ways, because their sitting committee woman was part of the coup. There's a videotape of her standing there with her proxy
right.
being
no,
forced
was...
by another member. So she's part of this. So you can't have it both ways. You either, you know, you got to understand what's behind that. And they don't see the big picture. They just get swooned, right? And they get conned
right.
into this by this, you know, this notion that somebody's going to get power and then they're going to be given something. There's a
right.
quid pro quo to be given out, and they're going to be able to be part of that. And again, quest for power.
Serpents with silver tongues.
Right.
There
you know,
you go.
That's another liner I came up with in my message. And we are this disaster, and I know we're running out of time, I'll be quick.
Yeah.
The disaster that is happening in Colorado is not a microcosm. This
right.
is blowing up to the national level, and we are the laughing stock
yes.
of the party. I got a call yesterday from a friend of mine in Delaware, who is the executive director out there, called me to say what the hell is going on in Colorado and what the hell is going on with Dave, because I'm hearing you have two chairs right now.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
so
yeah.
this is blowing up across the country.
Well, let's have two chairs. Let's have three chairs.
Hey,
let's have a dozen chairs.
Well, and what does this do to the voter? What does this do to the voter on the ground?
Exactly.
Well, they make them want to vote Republican.
What about the independents we're supposed to be courting? What about their vote? What about our Republicans?
The rhinos
what about
don't
Democrats
care.
Who might want
the
to come to our
don't
side?
Care.
We
they
are
don't.
Fools.
That's the key.
Well, that's what
that's the key.
Chuck said. They'd rather lose than lose power.
They'd rather
so.
Lose. They'd rather lose.
Guys, we got to go. So thank you.
Thanks, both of you. We appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you
for all of your work.
Thank you, guys.
And finally, because I want to save a little bit of time, this was Mark Hampton suggested, so we can go a little bit late. This is so Todd Watkins. This is for fun, guys. Todd Watkins is the traitor who kind of launched this whole thing. And thanks to Mark Hampton, I found a George Carlin bit. And I apologize because he uses other names too, but it's called.
So here are one of the other names. Don't take it personally.
Don't take it personally. Guy's Name Todd. BBS guys, if we could please play the Guy's Name Todd video.
And I'm getting really sick of guys named Todd. You know, yeah, it's just it's a goofy fucking name, okay? Hi, what's your name? Todd. I'm Todd. And this is Blake and Blair and Blaine and Brent. Where are all these goofy fucking boys' names coming from? Taylor, Tyler, Jordan, Flynn. These are not real names. You want to hear a real name? Eddie. Eddie is a real name. Whatever happened to Eddie? He was here a minute ago. Joey and Jackie and Johnny and Phil. Bobby and Tommy and Danny and Bill. What happened? Todd. And Cody. And Dylan. And Cameron. And Tucker. Hi, Tucker. I'm Todd. Hi, Todd. I'm Tucker. Tucker sucks. And fuck Tucker's friend, Kyle. Here's another soft name for a boy, Kyle. Soft names make soft people. I'll bet you anything that 10 times out of 10, Nikki, Vinny, and Tony will beat the shit out of Todd, Kyle, and Tucker.
Apologies to anybody else with any of those other names. Hey,
That's it for everybody.
So programming notes. So we are taking Friday off. So we'll replay today's show. So just so you guys know. And then on Monday, Mark Poff is filling in for us.
All right. Thanks very much and have a great Labor Day weekend.